Welcome to the City Life Lansing podcast. You are loved, you belong, and you have a unique purpose from God. You can connect with us at citylifelansing.com. You belong here. Here's today's message.
Good morning. Francis Chan wrote in Crazy Love this. Brooke Brunkowski was a beautiful 14-year-old girl who was in love with Jesus. When she was in junior high, she started a Bible study on her campus. She spent her babysitting money on Bibles so she could give them out to her unsaved friends. Youth pastors who heard about this brought her boxes of Bibles to give away, and Brooke wrote the following essay when she was about 12. It'll give you an idea of the kind of girl she was. The essay is titled, "Since I Have My Life Before Me" by Brooke Brunkowski. I'll live my life to the fullest. I'll be happy. I'll brighten up. I will be more joyful than I have ever been. I will be kind to others. I will loosen up. I will tell others about Christ. I will go on adventures and change the world. I will be bold and not change who I really am. I will have no troubles, but instead help others with their troubles. You see, I'll be one of those people who live to be history makers at a young age. Oh, I'll have moments, good and bad, but I will wipe away the bad and only remember the good. In fact, that's all I remember, just good moments, nothing in between, just living my life to the fullest. I'll be one of those people who go somewhere with a mission, an awesome plan, a world-changing plan, and nothing will hold me back. I'll set an example for others. I will pray for direction. I have my life before me. I will give others the joy I have, and God will give me more joy. I will do everything God tells me to do, and I will follow the footsteps of God. I will do my best, with 3 exclamation points. Frances continues on and says, during her freshman year in high school, Brooke was in a car accident while driving to the movies. Her life on earth ended when she was just 14, but her impact didn't. Nearly 1,500 people attended Brooke's memorial service, people from her public high school. They read poems she had written about her love for God. Everyone spoke of her example and her joy. Francis says, I shared the gospel, invited those who wanted to know Jesus to come up and give their lives to him. There must have been at least 200 students on their knees at the front of the church praying for salvation. Ushers gave a Bible to each of them, and they were the Bibles that Brooke had kept in her garage, hoping to give out to all of her unsaved friends. And one day, Brooke led more people to the Lord than most ever will. Brooke's life was an example of life's time clock and the fact that it's ticking. There will be a day when we are no longer here. My time is limited. Friends, your time is limited. City Life, we have a short window, so let's make our time here count. My name is Ashton, and Devin and I were both ordained 2 weeks ago by our lead pastors here, Jerome and Crystal Vierling. And I'm honored to be in a position today to deliver the word and hopefully invite you into a journey or help fan the flame of the journey you've already been on of being bold in our faith. But to go where we got to go, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for being here today. I pray your spirit is made known. God, I pray we grow to know you and love you more and more starting today. God, thank you for the journey you've taken us on and where you continue to lead us. We're grateful to be here. Thank you for another day and another breath. In your powerful name we pray. Amen. Last week, Devin absolutely crushed a sermon labeled Be Practicing. This dude dominated. This sermon was based upon the book Practicing the Way by John Mark Comer, and it has in it 3 objectives. Be with Jesus, become like him, become like Jesus, and do as he did. Devin did a phenomenal job at explaining and walking us through the first, be with Jesus and become like Jesus. And he gave some room today for me to walk in and talk about doing as Jesus. Now, that list of that in which Jesus has done is quite long and quite exhausting. But today, and we could take that sermon a million trillion ways, but hopefully today we can gather some action steps for you and I to do as Jesus has done. But to do so, we're going to start in Romans 1:8-17. I'm going to read it. If you got it on your phone, awesome. The word is good. If you don't read your Bible, shameless plug, it's the best book. I was going to say, you know, Practicing the Way, we're selling this at the Connect Center. But if you don't have one of these, let a team member know this is a Bible, and we would love to equip you with one, okay? If not, Amazon's got them. You can go anywhere. Get a Bible. We're going to tune into Romans 1, 8 through 17. It reads this. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all of the world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I mention you. Always in my prayers, asking that somehow by God's will, I may now at last succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. It continues on and it reads, I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I have often intended to come to you, but thus far have been prevented, in order that I may reap some harvest among you, as well as among the rest of the Gentiles. I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both in Rome. Verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. Say it with me. Verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. The title of today's message is Be Unashamed. We're in a B series and we're having a blast. And this one, we're talking about being unashamed. Now, some backdrop for Romans is this is a letter written by Paul. Paul was a leader of the faith at this time, and he wrote this letter to the Roman Christians. Now, the Roman Christians was a church that had Jews and Gentiles underneath the same roof. That meaning there's different ethnicities, different backgrounds, different mindsets, different everything that's in under one roof, the Roman church. And what had happened was there was an emperor that had rose and come to power in Rome, and he had issued a decree for all Jews to be dispersed to leave Rome, thus creating the Gentile church, that is the Roman church at this time. All the Jews left, leaving the church being Gentile specific for 5 straight years. Then when the decree got lifted, these Romans or these Jews came back into the church, and guess what? There was some tension. Couple analogies. I'll put myself first. I'm newly married. I personally didn't live with a lady before I got married, so I didn't know there's different tendencies. There's different appreciations. Monique likes when the clothes go in the hamper. I thought if it just gets in the vicinity, we're winning. She says no in the hamper. I can't put my wife on blast for too many of those things that she does, but hey, you know, dishes aren't necessarily always her secret power. But there's some tension that happens when you move in together again. You might be standing in here and you've maybe been alone, lived on your own, and all of a sudden bills got a little tight, so you had to invite a roommate in, and whoo, they got some different rhythms than you do. Maybe you're empty nester and 30 years old, they're, hey mom, bills are tight. Can I come in the basement? And you're like, of course you can, sweetie. But internally, you're like, dang, my Saturday rhythms have been a whole different thing, and it's not cleaning your laundry. See, the point is when the Jews came back into the Roman church with the Gentiles, there was some tension. So much so that it made its way back to Paul, and he was issued with heart and said, man, I got to write a letter that hopefully points them back to unity and togetherness. So as we hone into this passage more, Romans, you see that Paul, he had a passion to preach the good news to all people, right? He said, "This I'm not unashamed of the gospel," and he's saying it's for the Jew and the Greek. It's for everybody, to all people. But why is it that he's so passionate to preach this gospel? Why? Well, the answer in short is he's unashamed of it. He's unashamed of the gospel. That's why in which he's so passionate and wants to spread it to anybody, because he's unashamed. He has no qualms about it. He wants to tell it to every single person that he knows. But why is it that he's unashamed of the gospel? Because if you look at the stats, it says today 90% of people either one, don't ever tell someone about Jesus, and even furthermore, never get the chance to lead someone to Jesus. 90% of us. 9 out of 10. So obviously, this talking about Jesus, talking about the gospel, it can be kind of scary. It can feel quite embarrassing potentially. But why is it that Paul's unashamed? And the answer in short is it's God's power that results in salvation. In other words, the gospel, the good news, is actually, it's the power of God to bring people to salvation. So he's unashamed because this truth that he believes in isn't just truth, it's also the power of God being displayed. That's what the gospel is. The gospel is bringing people to salvation. But why is it God's power? For it is God's righteousness that's being revealed from faith to faith. In other words, God has made you right and God has made me right in his eyes, thus allowing my faith to impact a hearer's or another person's faith. Let's break it down further. When we talk about Jew and Gentile, this is a huge advance from the Old Testament. The Bible split up into two different testaments, the Old and the New. The Old Testament, the idea and the culture was that this God was for the Jew alone. And this idea that the God of the Jews was for actually all God, he's the maker of them all, and he's going to die on the cross for them all, and that this gospel, this power of God is for who? All people. Jesus introduced this, actually, this revelation to his disciples, and if you read some of the Old Testament, you know, prophecies and messianic prophecies, all that fun stuff for the Bible buffs in the room, you can start to interpret, man, there's something coming. But it's cool because Jesus introduced this, you know, subtly, oftentimes through the accounts of the gospel. But also, you see that in the Great Commission, Matthew 28:19, you see that he says that Jesus not only is the Father and the maker of them all, yes, but he says, go and make disciples of how many nations? One nation? How many nations? All nations. Go and make disciples, not of one, of two types of people, of three or four. No. All nations. That's why when we read Paul, he's probably eager and motivated because he got to interpret that commission and see it and be like, man, if this is what we're supposed to do, we got to take this to all people, quite literally. So this gospel, or even you could say this supernatural power of God, is for all people. And if it's as important as Paul makes it seem, if it's important, like he's saying this is for everybody, this is a lifeline. If it's as important as Jesus makes it seem, why would some of us be ashamed to talk about it? Shameless plug, get rooted. There's three different answers sometimes to this question. Three generalizations. One, inadequacy. Sometimes us in this room, we can feel as if, dang, are we good enough? I don't know. Like maybe my past outweighs my present and what God has done. I don't know if I have the ability to talk about this. I don't know if I deserve the right. Another generalization could be the fact that you may feel uninformed. Do I know enough? I don't know if I do. And thirdly, I think the one that might echo to all of us is just straight up fear. The actual opposite of being unashamed, to be shamed. Could it be, I don't know it fully? Do I? I don't know, I'm scared. My goal today is hopefully to be able to debunk and help illuminate what God has put in you so that we don't no longer reside on these lies and these things that hold us back from the most powerful thing in the universe. See, if you're in the one thing of uninformed, it's really short for you. It's actually just teach people what you know. If you know that Christ is risen, guess what you teach them? You teach them Christ is risen. If you know that the gospel is good news, what do you teach them? The gospel is good news. Uninformed, we're never going to be informed enough to be perfect, to answer every conversation, answer every question, but rather have confidence in the fact, teach people what you know. Your lives are a display of the gospel more than what comes out of your oral cavity, aka your mouth. If your past gives you some reason for you to feel as if you're not good enough, I want to add a thought, and this is where we're going to spend a little bit more time on. Some people might disagree in this room, but I believe that Paul had every reason to be ashamed of himself, of his past. He had every reason. Why? Because he sinned. I would even argue to say that you and I in this room, we have every single reason to be ashamed. Why? We sinned. And for sin's wages is what? It's death. Death. We sinned. We've taken an egregious crime. We all deserve to be ashamed. We all deserve death. Yet how is it that Paul, and I didn't even share the backstory of him, and if you've heard it, awesome. If you haven't, here you go. Paul was known as Saul, and he was an association of people killing Christians. So he has all the reason to be ashamed. Yet how is it that he can stand here, not only as a leader of the faith, writing to a church and encouraging them of unity, how is it that he can stand there and say, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel"? How can he make that advance? How can he make that statement? Let's go. That's the answer. All right, I'm out. Thank you. Dang, come on. No, I'm just kidding. No, you crushed it. We can be unashamed in the fact by trusting that the gospel is a fact. See, yes, we know the redundant truth that God lived this perfect life and he died this death. And he conquered death and rose again for our sins. We know that. We've heard it time and time again. But the point of the story is that we were never worthy. It doesn't matter how much good merit, good deeds, your work ethic, nothing. You can do nothing alone in conquering the shame you and I deserve. See, the gospel announces that God accepts us despite it all. All we have to do is receive this gift with faith and obedience. Yes, it's by grace that Paul can stand unashamed. And it's by grace that you and I can be unashamed. But Jesus takes this thought even farther than just, yes, grace. He takes it farther. In Hebrews 12, 1 through 2 reads this. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin, which clings to us so closely. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Say these three words with me. Despising the shame. And is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. See, Jesus was unashamed before Paul was. But Jesus actually took it to another level, and that's the level I hopefully you and I walk to today. That we don't just stand and be unashamed, but rather we look shame in its face and say, "I despise you." That we look shame in its face and we say, "You don't deserve to have company around me." See, Jesus looked on the cusp of death, the brink of history, and he despised shame. Do we take that same approach? See, one of the most significant tactics of the enemy is shame. Is making you be reminded of the truth that really is. If it wasn't for Jesus, we deserve to be shamed. That's right. But Christ alone is the reason why you and I get to walk and stand on a foundation that's not our own. It's his. So the goal today is that you can look shame in its eyes and say, "You do not deserve to be here." Yes, if it was all me, 100%, I deserve to be shamed. But because of Jesus, because of what he's done, because of him laying his life down, in making you worthy, we now get to stand on a foundation that's not our own, like Paul, and said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel." Because it's the power of God that brings salvation to how many people? All people, including you and including me. So that's what we do today. We look shame in its face, and it doesn't deserve to be in this place. Here you go. No, you guys are awesome. 5 years ago, pre-COVID, Saturday prayer, multi-purpose room. We used to do this Saturdays. It was a blast, a ton of fun. I'm an intern. I'm just electric. I'm getting to preach today. Oh, yeah. Here we go, baby. This is like, I'm already kind of fast today. Imagine that. Like, there's no refined. I'm just straight, just gas to, like, all of it. Just gas. And it gets to the time when we get to pray. And I'm praying, and I'm, Jesus, just move, please, God, seriously. And I'm praying in the front row, and the way it was before it was renovated. There was no carpet squares, no stage. We stood here, and, like, the first chairs were right here, close and intimate, your favorite thing. I love it. Introverts are like, I would despise. We've grown. So I'm ripping. I'm praying, Jesus, I pray for Kid City. I pray there's GM workers there that are going to love Jesus for the rest of their life. Lord, I pray for the future doctors in that room. And I got really excited. I said, Lord, I pray for future worship leaders to be risen up. And Jesus, I pray for future pastors. And I connected on someone's chin. Straight uppercut, fight night, someone's chin. I was gripped with so much shame, I couldn't even open my eyes. It crippled me. I was caught to fear. Because guess who I thought it was? And I called to share both these people. I thought it was Anna Pryor. She was right in front of me. I saw her come in, and I closed my eyes, and she was just in the spirit. And I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, I just knocked out Anna Pryor. I can't open my eyes. There's not a chance I can open my eyes at this moment. I'm about to cry. I don't even know what to do. I'm on the mic. I'm paused. And then by the grace of God, I slowly open my right eye, and I see Noah Maldonado hunched over his face like this. And I've never praised God more and harder in my life. I called Anna Pryor this week. I said, can I share this story? She said, baby, go ahead. I love that one. And I love that woman. And if you don't know her, meet her. She prays for you. She's awesome. But see, shame has this way of gripping us. It has this way of causing us to be crippled with fear. It is funny, but I couldn't even look, and I couldn't move. I thought I just knocked out Anna Pryor. And I know that's funny, but it's real. Because oftentimes, you and me, we still make mistakes. We still mess up. And shame grips our heart and cripples us with fear. And as I segue to this way, you know, you hear in that verse in Acts, you know, go and be my witnesses to all the ends of the earth, right? That word witness is synonymous with the word martyr. Now, friends, we don't face a legitimate death in America for spreading the gospel necessarily. But it is true that when you rep Jesus, when you rep the kingdom, it is true in fact that you may face reputation death. You may face relational death. You may face cool death, whatever it is. Kids here, if you're junior dream team, if you're a kid and you want to rep the gospel and you want to rep it at your school, you will face opposition. You will look like an alien. If you want to go to your family events and rep the kingdom, you will look weird. But I promise you it's worth it. John Mark Comer says this in the book, Practicing the Way. If you want to grow, if you want more of God, you have to give more of him away. Part of our spiritual formation is that in which us living for the gospel and sharing it amongst our lives. Do you hear what I'm saying? And I believe City Life here today, you are hungry to want to grow. Not just, yes, ashamed of the gospel, but you want to grow with Jesus. That's why you're here. You want to grow in your discipleship. You want to know him more. You want to be in community. I've heard your prayers. I've seen your requests. I know that's a desire in your heart. If that's the case, you have to give more away. Give our lives away. Oftentimes, we'll go back to the uninformed. We don't know what to do, though. Ashton, I hear it. I feel it. I hear what you're saying. It's important. We need to spread this to everybody. I can't be crippled with shame anymore, but what do I do? And at the end of this service, we're actually going to take a moment. I'm going to put some unashamed action steps. Don't do it yet. But we're going to do that. We're going to walk and talk to each other right here, right now. It's awesome. Oh, yeah. Introverts, get ready. No, I'm just kidding. But seriously, Friends, John Mark says, do as he did. Do as he did. I loved one of the angles here, and I was reading some other stuff, and there's a book. I'm blanking on the name now, but it talks about how Jesus was either headed to, coming from, or either at a meal. Headed to, going from, or at a meal. The point is, how do we share this good news? We live it. We do it. You invite people into your natural rhythms of life that represent Jesus. If you're practicing Sabbath, you invite people into you practicing Sabbath. If you are inviting kids to the, you're going grocery shopping, and you're like, man, I know that girl's wilding out. You invite her to the grocery store with you. You invite people into your walks of life, those closest to you. How will they know you? By the way you treat one another. Do you hear what I'm saying? To do as he did. But to do that also, he was reliant on something way bigger than all of us. That's the Holy Spirit. A power. He tapped into something. Remember how the gospel is the power of God? The Holy Spirit is here and now and wants to helpfully push you and motivate you to guide people to all truth. Who's all truth? Devin crushed it all last week. I am the way, the and the life. Who is that? Right. So our goal today is that as we do as he did, we tap into this supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. Because it says that we can do greater things than he. What? What? That's crazy. We sit here and we just talk about it like it's not, but it is. That you have a Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit in you. And I like this because Jesus knew that. And he read in this synagogue in Nazareth, Luke 4. And I'm actually going to ask everybody in the room to stand. Because we're actually going to read this together. Out loud. Yep. Together. You and me, we're going to read this. Luke 4. And so they're going to click us and we're going to go slow. And it might be a little clunky, but that's okay. But there's something powerful in this moment that Jesus recognized. Is he wasn't just asking, but he was recognizing that in which the Spirit that's on him. And I pray, my prayer today is for you that we recognize the Spirit that's on you and that's on me. And so if you can join me, we're going to awkwardly and clunky walk our way through reading this together. Luke 4, verse 18 through 19 reads this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Yep, that's it. That's right. I was like, ready for the next one? I was like, no, that's it. But that's it right there. Jesus knew what was upon him and knew what was at hand when it was. And so right now, we're actually going to cue something because there's something in a couple weeks that's happening and you heard it. What's on March 31st? And Easter's all about that Christ is what? Risen, right? So that means people are going to be coming here and they're going to be given a chance to respond to the gospel. No one can come and that's okay. One can come and that's amazing. 1,000 can come, that's cool. But people are going to come here and hear what? The good as followers of Jesus, the pressure's off. There's no pressure for you and me. There is none. The pressure's off. The results are his. They're not ours. All our responsibility is to do this. Guess what? We just cultivate a space. That's all we do. And we let who move? God. That's all we do. On a Sunday, we just set the space so that people can experience the King, Jesus. So we're about to walk into some, one, we're going to cue the Easter video because there's a message that we want to let people know. And so team, if you guys can cue this real quick, we're going to stand, we're going to stay standing, I know. Get your steps in, get the blood flowing. Team, can you cue the Easter video real quick?
Then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But Thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Hey, that's the Easter poem right there. The truth is the fact that we're going to have people coming. We have a message, and you might not have to run up parking ramps to tell them, but you may have to walk to the next cubicle. You might have to lean over at your friend's desk, and you might have to be unashamed, but that's hard if we don't remember that we have community, we have people around us. So we're going to actually ask us to do something. We have some unashamed action steps from Passion to Ashton. I want you to look around the room, not your husband or your wife. I want you to make eye contact with somebody right now. Literally. Make eye contact. One person. One person. Just lock eyes. One person. This isn't your moment to shoot your shot. Make eye contact. And I want you to go by them right now, and I want you to go pray for them. And we're going to pray that they have a boldness given to them. A confidence given to them by Jesus. That the Holy Spirit resides in this place today. So friends, I know it seems awkward. It might seem uncomfortable, but we're actually going to do it today. You guys have a minute and 10 seconds to pray for boldness and confidence. Let it rip. I'm going to pray for you guys. Jesus, thank you for Chad and Janine, God, and all that you're doing in their lives. Lord, I pray for strength and confidence to rest upon them, that the Holy Spirit just embodies their souls. God, thank you for what you're doing through them and in them. And Holy Spirit, thank you for this day and just watching our congregation, our people come to know you, God. I pray we grow in love. I pray for the people that are in front of us, that we have a boldness and a confidence to talk and rep the kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah. Let's go. 30 seconds. Ten. I'm gonna just cue you up. Five, four, three, two, one. Hey guys, I know you're closing up that moment. There's something powerful when we gather and we pray for one another, because we're more than just people that come here and go here. We're family, and we're going to be unashamed. But there's truth, that it can be scary, it can be fearful. But the team, Virginia and the team, they're going to come up here, and we're going to celebrate in what God's going to do in advance. Why? Because we're going to joyfully rebuke fear here and today. That there's no fear welcome here. There's no shame welcome here. And so the team is going to lead us through the good news. And if you got dance moves and you want to vibe a little bit, do you. If you want to keep praying, do you. But we're going to celebrate in advance for what God is going to do through you and me. This is the gospel, baby. I got you.
To
friends, Brooke Brunkowski in the beginning, Paul, Jesus, and hopefully you and me are all unashamed of the truth, and that is the gospel. Two and three of the unashamed action steps are this. Write a name down of somebody you want to go share, even just an invite to this service on Sunday, March 31st, to hear the good news. Thirdly, you can grab a card, you can grab 10, you can grab 20, we'll order more if we need to. Let's have that kind of problem of you guys inviting people to come to know the King. Friends, being ashamed is trusting that what Jesus said and did is true. Give God the results. You might invite 50 people and none of them come. God's still good. It's not about numerical, it's not about how many people, no. It's about us honoring that which God put in you and God put in me, and we go give it away. Celebrate in advance for what God's going to do. Friends, we're going to be here next week, 10 o'clock and 11:30, all races, all faces, and all ages. You belong here. We're going to keep loving the city one life at a time, and we won't stop until He comes back and makes all things new. Go be bold, baby.
One life at a time. To get connected, learn more, and invest financially, go to citylifelansing.com. You belong here.